I'm humbled, and I want to worship God right now, just because, just the things I'm hearing a lot of connections here. Even Patty, read in Proverbs 26, how that was really powerful this week. It was like a really timely passage to hear that again. Just brings that back. Hear the healing with Terry. That's very real, very powerful. That was confirmed last night. Even I had no idea that God was bringing that up really strongly yesterday. And that prepared us, too, to go into worship. We had worship in here, singing to the Lord. And then when we went back there, we prayed and talked, and there was revelation that we should be seeking God to be cleansed in those areas. And I was seeking Him personally as well, and we all were. And I want to continue to do that today, that if there's any thread of bitterness towards anybody, that you have to, it has to be healed, and it has to be healed now. Right now, this is the time to get it uprooted. And the Word of God is going to help with that. The Word of God is like rain. And Terry had revelation of that. Rain soaking, a soaking rain on his body, his bride. Amen. And the Word of God does that. It soaks in. And it helps loosen those things up so they can be just easily given over to God. If you're a gardener, you know how hard it is to pull weeds when it's not rained in a week or two. It's like concrete out there. You forget it. You go out there with a chisel hammer and try to get one dandelion up. But if it's rained, it's just like, you know, it's like almost fun. You go out there, almost. You go out there and they just come up so easy. So praise God for that. That was a very strong revelation last night. And I'm glad that you mentioned that, because that confirms that it was from God. And then we sense the worship increased after that. I mean, worshiping Him is in truth and spirit. Truth, we know who He is. We know who we worship. We know why we worship Him. We know who He is. And then the spirit, we know how to worship Him. You know, it's spiritual. It's not carnal. It's not driven by emotions. It might end up with emotions. There might be tears, and that's a beautiful thing. But it's not driven by emotions. It's a spiritual thing. It's a spirit addressing His spirit. It's a real connectedness with God, being aware of His presence. So that started happening as the grace was flowing and we were released to be able to worship Him. A lot of churches do the worship in front, at the front of the service. And I understand that. And they say that to prepare for the Word that's to come. Wait a minute. The Word is supposed to be what prepares us to be able to worship. So I challenge that now. I'm beginning challenged in that idea. So you're going to see more worship happening towards the end of the service, you know. So we'll have a couple of beginning songs, and that's kind of like the shofar to call people together. We're still waiting for the stragglers to come in and so forth. So that's like the shofar calling to worship. That's understandable. But really the preparation is that we would worship Him in truth and spirit. Truth that we got from the Word, and in spirit, the loosening and the being free to worship Him, to really spiritually worship Him. So if I'm just being prepared to receive the Word, I think something's a little backwards there, and not the fullest of what He called us to be. So I understand that's a little different, but there's the reason for it. So praise God. Amen. Chapter 6. Paul dealing with these beautiful people of Corinth. And you say, beautiful? What are you talking about, Paul? They had fornication going on. They're suing each other. They're drunk at the communion table. 2 gallon jugs of wine right back there. They had all this stuff going on. And yeah, Paul would say, I forget where it is, to present them as a chaste bride. There's a verse in there. It talks about him presenting them. This is what he's going to do, present Corinth as a chaste bride, as perfect, beautiful bride. You know, so, and he would labor like a woman travailing in labor until Christ is formed in them. So he's working on a different plane than a lot of other people are. A lot of people are like, oh, there's no love here. This is this and this. And they go leave and they're trying to find that perfect place. And instead of entering into the labor, being co-laborers with each other, sharing each other's burdens, dealing with the difficulties, dealing with the irritation that we cause each other. That's normal to irritate each other. What's not normal in the kingdom of God is to run away from that. It's to deal with it. It's to deal with those things and to grow through them and to see God glorified in all of this. Quite often, Chuck Smith would get called. He's part of the last revival in the 1960s, the Jesus movement, one of the greatest revivals in our country. And a lot of churches born out of that movement. And he would get pastors that would be going from his church and to different states, calling him back and saying, you know what, the people are weird here. And Chuck would hear this over and over and over again. And to the point where he almost had a recording, you know, his response would be recording. It's like, stay there, just keep plugging in. It's going to be okay. There, people are the same wherever you go. You know, you're just going to run into different types of personalities. And when you think you've met the weirdest, do you think you've met the most difficult? Nope. They'll be sent to you, believe me. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Dear any of you having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints. So here's a little interlude in the discussion about fornication. It's almost like an intermission. He starts talking about another issue. And there's a reason why he does this. Fornication's a big issue. Sexual sin is a big issue. Okay, does anybody not know that? Boy, why? I didn't know that, Paul. Where you been? Okay. Sexual sin is a big issue. It affects the big, small, tall, and everybody. Okay, so it's one of those things that God has gifted us with. He's gifted us with a great thing that's to be used in marriage, and Satan would have it perverted. There's always a counterfeit to the real thing, isn't there? When you have something real and it's profitable out there, well, someone's going to be like, well, let me copy that so I can, you know, I can get in. And Satan's doing that all the time. He's a great deceiver. He's a great counterfeiter. So, hey, just you can just live with this. You can just shack up. You can just satisfy yourself with this harlot. You can just whatever. You can flirt. You can do these things. And that's a counterfeit. It's all counterfeit. It's all counterfeit. So in the big topic of fornication, which we started last week, we have an intermission here of talking about suing each other. And there's a reason for that. It's not like Paul is freaking out here. He's totally in the flow of the Spirit here. The Spirit would say, these people need to know who they are and who they serve. So there's a power issue. They're lacking power here. And that's what it's all been about so far. He didn't come with eloquence of words. He came with power. So he's still demonstrating that, and he wants to know the power that they have, and that's their position. The power they have, the physical power also they have to do things, but also their position. We'll talk more about that as we get into this. So he's addressing this in the context of an issue that's actually happening in the church. People were suing each other. So this is like Zach suing Alex. Alex stole his... What was the last fight you got in with Zach about?
About my TV.
About your TV? You wanted to watch something or...
Yeah.
We won't get into particulars, but anyway. So it's like it blows up and Zach and Alex are like, that's it, I'm getting a lawyer. Alex gets his lawyer, he breaks his piggy bank, and Zach gets his lawyer, breaks his piggy bank, and they go get their lawyers. I don't know where you could afford one like that, but they do. And they're in court, and they got this big court and this big thing going on. And my brother did this, and you know, and they're fighting each other, and the whole world's witnessing it. And what a sad situation it is. It sounds humorous, but the Holy Spirit is bringing to light here that this is a sad situation that should never be. Those issues should be resolved right in the home. We shouldn't have to go to the world in that sense and do that, especially in the church. Especially his bride, whether it's in the home or in the physical building here, you are his bride, and these issues need to be resolved within the church. That's the members, the people, not the building here. For some reason, they didn't think so. Maybe they thought, you know, a particular type of offense. We don't know what the particulars are here of why people were suing each other, but maybe, you know, there was a certain type of thing that happened. It's like, wait a minute. This is out of the realm of church. Now we've got to go to the big boys. We've got to go to a higher authority. That's so weird. That is so weird. We are so weird what we do. It's amazing. One of the biggest events in our lives is to be married. And the planning that goes into that, and the months and the planning and the process kind of tell you that it's a very important thing. And for especially for a girl, she dreams about that as a little girl. She'll play and rehearse that and play marriage. We used to do that with the kids. They'd marry the cat or whatever, and you know, would go through these things, and it would be such a, you know, because we're preparing for something that is so huge, so big. And it's before God that we make this vow and all of these things. And all of a sudden, we're going to man to break something that was said before God. That is weird. It is really weird. Why don't we go to God to break what we did before God? Someone please describe that. Someone please explain that to me. I know it's complicated. I don't want to trivialize anything. But this is what's happening in the church. This is what's happening. They're suing each other. They're going out of the church and saying that the church isn't, you know what? I need to go to a higher authority. I need to hire a lawyer. I need to hire a lawyer for this and resolve this issue. And now this is being addressed because they are not living to who they've been called to be. This is the problem. And it bleeds back into the fornication issue. They're not being who they have been called to be. They're not living in the power of the Holy Spirit. Dare, it says in that first verse of chapter 6. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, whether it's divorce or not, we don't know, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints. No one's ever come to me and asked me permission for a divorce. No one's ever done that. Ever. And that hurts me majorly. That really messes me up. Really messes me up. No one's ever come to me and asked me for permission for that. To bless their divorce. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? And that's the issue, you can underline unworthy. Their perception of who they were was so small and so distorted, so perverted, that they decided to be living like dogs within the church, living like babes in Christ, not growing up into what God had called them to be. Are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Question mark. Don't you know that we shall judge angels? So now we're going to go get into the context of who you are and the power that we're to exhort in this world and to live in. What position you hold. You will be judging angels, it says here. How much more than the things that pertain to this life? If you're going to judge the elements of heaven, the angels. If then you have judgment of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. So again, this is a type of question that least esteemed in the church would be, what would we esteem least? Those are what are going to be listed here, the effeminate, the abusers, the fornicators. In verse 9, he's going to list them. It's to be the least esteemed. Your translation might actually show that as a question. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goes to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you because you go to law one another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Verse 7 here of chapter 6. Man, I tasted and saw that the Lord was good in this verse. I'm telling you, and you could tell me, I'm sure, and we do that, hopefully, we just did that when we share things with each other, that we taste and see that the Lord is good. Roger, your experience that you shared, Patty, Terry, everyone that shared this morning, you tasted and saw that the Lord was good. And that's the idea of us sharing with each other. is to encourage each other, hey, that's good food. And you know, when you start talking about how good that pizza is, what causes the other person to start water? Their mouth starts to water, right? So that's provoking. Roger read that from Hebrews about provoking one another to good works, exhorting one another too, he read. So that's developing that taste for what is good. I've been set free. I have tasted verse 7. It's absolutely delicious. It's the most delicious thing on this earth. It's better than whatever you're thinking about right now. You can see brownies above everybody's head. It's better than that. To taste and see that the Lord is good. You know what Jesus was talking about when he said, my meat, my food is to do the will of the Father. And they were all filled with their bellies. The disciples said, you get any lunch, Jesus? And said, yeah, I'm full. And he said it in this way. My meat, my food is to do the will of the Father. Man, it is good. It is satisfying. That the things of the belly just go in and out, and we're hungry again. But the things that are eternal, how satisfying they are. They are eternal. They are eternal. You praying for your uncle, all those things are eternal. There's going to be consequences that you'll be worshiping God for in eternity for the things that have been done here in his name. I was set free in verse 7. In the context of this whole chapter, brother against brother. That type of thing, where the arrow was stuck in the back kind of feeling. You know how we get. And we start increasing that arrow. It could be just a little toothpick. And then we start adding to that arrow. How do we do it? Rewind, play it again. What did they say again? Oh, let me rewind that one more time. Let me rewind it 100 times. Okay, well, they've forgotten about it. They've moved on with their lives, and you're still rewinding what they said. Rewind, rewind. All of a sudden, that little toothpick that they launched into you is a 100-foot sword and dagger, and you're totally disabled. That was me. Disabled because of a toothpick. I kept adding to it and adding to it. And you know what? You know, they've always been against me. You know what? They've always been, you know, and then adding to it. You know what, that one time? And then it gets bigger. This toothpick's growing into this huge dagger. And what am I doing? I'm killing myself. I'm increasing the wound. I was set free here. And it's just in the simple fact, God telling me, Paul, it's just better to be wrong. Stop it. Stop hitting the rewind button. Stop feeling sorry for yourself and building the toothpick into a dagger, into a huge sword. Stop doing that. It's better just to be wrong. Okay, I'm wrong. Poof. Toothpick's gone. The self-made dagger and swords are gone. And I'm free. I can start, I can walk again. I can see again. I can taste again. I'm living again. I'm alive. I've been set free. I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. This speaks to meekness. When we're hurt in these type of situations, our natural man wants to fight back, wants to punch back, wants to hurt back. That's the natural man. And we might have the power to do so because of our position or our strength, or our wisdom, our cleverness of word, or whatever that we hold in this person's life, we can take revenge over them, and we have power to do so, but because of meekness, we don't. Meekness is power restrained, and Jesus demonstrated that in a great way. 2 Timothy, if you want to turn there just real quick, 2 Timothy chapter 2, all the T books are together, Thessalonians, Timothy, so forth and so on. So you're getting your T-book, you're getting close. Yeah, that's to the right. 2 Timothy, verse 12, I believe it is. Verse 11 and 12. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Skip over to 25 in the same chapter. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to acknowledging of the truth. meekness. Meekness. Power, restrain. Jesus said, the meek shall inherit the earth. Those that know how to use the power of God properly. We're talking about the power of God today. We're going to talk about the power of God, not only to deliver you from a life of fornication and looking at images on your cell phone and having that destroy your life and your marriage and your future wife, your future husband. Man, that messes you up. Not only being free from that, but the meekness, the power to go forward for the kingdom of God and to see his kingdom advance in all the people around us. Properly using the power of God, demonstrating that power. Whether it's the laying of hands on healing, casting out demons, bringing the graces of his gospel to bear. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Meekness. It's better to be wrong. I have the power to go to the law, and it's because I've been wronged. I have the power to get a lawyer and to prove to the world that I am right and that this brother or sister hurt me. And all the world's going to know, it's going to be on the front page, that Paul Myers is right. I have that power. I have money in the bank. I can do it. I can get a lawyer. That's not Jesus. Jesus was meek. He had the power to get off that cross and wipe out every single person that was calling him names, plucked his beard, get back at those guys that punched him when they had a sack over his head. Okay, now it's my turn. He had that power. Meekness. It's better to be wrong. It's better to take the sin, all their sin. It's better to just take their sin. It's better to be wrong than to take this one and prove me myself right. Maybe questions are popping in your head right now. But hold on. Hold on a minute. Let's finish today. Nay, you do wrong and defraud in that your brethren. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? He's going to describe those lawyers that we go to. Will you handle this beautiful thing? Please don't be condemned because of what I'm talking about today. I am conveying a truth here. I'm not here to condemn people. Please don't be condemned by what I'm saying or how I'm saying it. But this is really true. Something beautiful that has been done before God, and that God has ordained that a man and woman would get together, be fruitful and multiply and love each other, and said before God that we would go to a fornicator to undo that. We would go to the unrighteous to do that. We would go to an idolater. What the heck is going on? I mean, really. This really upsets me. And I know it upsets God. He hates it. He hates it. Be not deceived, for these people that we go to, that we esteem so high, these fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, the effeminate, abusers of themselves and mankind, thieves, the covetous, the drunkards, revilers, extortioners, they have no authority to undo what God has done. That's why Jesus says you commit adultery going into other relationships. This is a very hard teaching, and it's not condemned. Jesus is here to set you free. I am speaking about a truth that's really hard. That's really hard to hear. But it's a truth that needs to be known. But we're here to be set free by the Lord God, not to be condemned. Remember that. And such were some of you, but you are washed. And now he's going to get into who you are. Not just throw us under the bus. That's not what this is all about. Not to condemn us, but to bring us into the light of who we are. That's the purpose here. Get your focus again, okay? If you've lost it, all right, don't allow Satan to spin you out here. Come on, stay focused. Because God's going to now, he's going to show you who you are. You were this, but now you are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified. Only God can do that. It's just as if you have never sinned. We can't do that with each other. Forgiveness is not justification. I can forgive somebody, but I can't justify what they did. Only God can do that, can justify. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. A small interlude right here. Now he's going to get back into fornication, the subject of fornication, but a small interlude about who you are and the power that you hold. Why would we go to somebody that doesn't have this power? It doesn't make sense. It's weird. It's twisted. That's the whole point here. Does anybody see anything different? All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Let's talk about this power a little bit. We're going to break it up here a little bit. Some people are still living in fornication. Some people are still living under this unworthiness. Understand of who they are, as verse 2 talks about. And Satan will beat you up in that area. You do need to rise up in who God's called you to be. The church needs to rise up in who she is. Let's take a look at who we are. And it starts way back in Genesis chapter 1. It talks about power that's been given to man. We are the image bearers of God. Therefore, we've been given a certain dominion, a certain power. And this is before the fall, and we're going to see the restoration of that in Ephesians. But first, we'll look at it in Genesis, way back in the beginning. Chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. Power comes in three different realms. And I'll give you three fancy words just to be fancy this morning. Ousousia, the dunamos, kraiotis. Ousousia, the dunamos, and the kraiotis. And that all three of those are going to be expressed here. Verse 27, God created man in his own image. That is your title, your position. That's the ousousia. We know Jesus is Lord. That is the ousousia. That's his power. That's his title. Within that title, he has certain powers to exercise. As image bearers of God, bearing his image, we have certain powers. And he gives that in verse 28. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over it. The fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the hunter's favorite verse. Over everything that moves upon the earth. That's a prayer for the hunter and the fisherman right there. Exercise their authority. Genesis 1, 27 and 28. It tells you who you are, an image bearer of God, the strength, the dunamos that he's given you, the power to subdue things. He's given me the wisdom to exercise a bow to take down a deer. I'm subduing this thing with the power that God has given me. And now he mentions dominion. He's given man that management over the whole earth. That dominion. Here's the earth. Here is your area, man, woman. Here is your area to rule over. That's way back in the beginning. This is before the fall. This is what God intended for us. That Kim, that Dick, that Alex, that Gretchen would be the image bearers of God and have dominion over this earth and to subdue it. Not to be overcome by it, not to be ruled by these things, not to be eaten by bears, but to subdue them. We know from the fall that everything has changed in that context. But it's been restored through Jesus Christ. And I want to show you that now in Ephesians. If we could turn there, please. That's Ephesians chapter 1. No coincidence. Genesis 1 and Ephesians 1. Talk about this position, this power that we all have. Living in anything less than that, you will have your butt kicked, Alex. Seth, you will have your butt kicked. By Satan, by the world, and by the devil. I'll tell you that right now. It'll kick you all over the place if you don't rise up in this power that God has granted us through Christ Jesus. I'm not worthy. And therefore, I've got to go get a lawyer. Therefore, I've got to allow fornication in so I could manage and get through the day. And I need this drug or whatever it is to get through the day. That's your butt getting kicked. That's living underneath something that we've now been given power over. And Ephesians 1 sees the restoration of that. When we're born underneath all of this. Because of the fall, everything's been flipped up. The dominion's been given over to Satan. The power's been given over to him. The flesh has power over us. Now we're underneath all of this. We'll go out in the woods and a bear might eat us. And all these things now are realities that are around us. But Ephesians 1, praise God that Jesus Christ has brought us back into that place. Back us into that place of power that God intended us to have. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. You guys need to know this. That verse is saying that. That God would reveal this to you. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Amen. Know this. Have it real to you. The eyes of your understanding in verse 18, be enlightened, be open to this. That you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches are of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. And here's all three of those powers in verse 21. Come back. And given to us through Christ Jesus. For above all principality and power and might and dominion. In every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Has put all things under his feet and given him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Now with Christ as our head, now as being in Christ, we are back into the image bearers of God. Because he's our righteousness. Jesus is the perfect image bearer of God. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, he said. We've been invited. We've been bid to the wedding feast. We've been told to come into that, to step into what Jesus Christ has done. Into this image. My image is distorted. I look like my head is 8 feet high. I look like the distorted, in the circus thing there at the county fair, the funny mirrors. That's what I did to the image of God. That's what it looks like. But Christ's image is perfect. He's the express image of God, it says in Hebrews chapter 1. The perfect man. And now his body, he's included you and me in that perfect image. Isn't that great? And in that perfect image, now that's who you are. Right before God. An image bearer of God. Now we have the power to subdue and have dominion through Christ. Not to walk around and have our butts kicked by the devil. I fell again. Something's not right. There might be an identity issue. Do you know who you are? Do you know who you belong to? We'll go back to 1 Corinthians there. Now, as he picks on this little issue of the lawsuits, now you can see and understand what he's doing. He's bringing you to a place of realizing who you are. Now he's going to hit fornication head on and slay that dragon. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. This is my favorite verse to tell my dog. Benjamin, food for belly and belly for food, both are fit for destruction. That's all he did was it's, you know, it's just, he'd eat, he'd gorge and then pass out, gorge, then pass out. I miss that old dog. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication. Now, do you know what the body is? Have you heard what has been told you this morning? That we are now image bearers of God because of Christ. We wear his righteousness. This new creature that we are, we're actually image bearers of the living God. Now this starts to make more sense. Taste and see it. Be delivered, be set free. The body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. There's two prepositions, the most important prepositions that you'll ever encounter, Alex. A preposition is like you're in something or you're out of something. Preposition is like a part of a sentence. I think that's right. It's been a long time since English. But in Christ is a preposition. Just a very simple term, being in Christ. It's the most important thing you'll find in this Bible. Being in Christ. Because it's in Christ that you'll find life. It's in Christ that you'll find truth. It's in Christ you'll be set free. It's in Christ that you're guaranteed eternity. It's in Christ that you're going to be set free from everything that is holding you back from being that image bearer. Two realities here. You are being in Christ and Christ in us. There's two realities that are working at the same time that are absolutely wonderful. You are in Christ, Simeon, but Christ is also in you. Roger, you're in Christ, but Roger, Christ is also in you. I want to explain what that means because it's very important. Very important. It has to do with the power and authority you have. A lot of people don't understand that. They walk around defeated. Oh, the flesh and the devil got me today. No more. You are in Christ, and Christ is in you. If someday some of you are property owners in here, apartment renters, whatever, you have a space. That's your place. You have a certain possession. You have certain rights being a landowner or a property or apartment rent or whatever it is. Do you have the right not to pay taxes though? Why not? You're a property owner, isn't it? Isn't that the full extent of everything? Aren't you free to not pay taxes anymore? It doesn't make sense, does it? There's a dominion over you called the United States of America and Cougar County and the town of Mentz or the town of Auburn, the town of Weesport. There's these dominions that are over us. And there's authorities in those dominions, police, IRS, FBI. Those are the three elements of the powers that we're talking about. Dominion powers. And Asusia, that's the office powers, the positions. And then the actual dunamos, the power to exercise your rights of being a landowner or whatever. Remember this analogy. It's very key to your walk with Christ. Because all these words have affiliations to governments and leaders and lordships. So it's a very proper analogy. If I were to sit, Alex, if I were to sit on my home, if I were to go home right now and I were to sit on my property and just say, you know what? I'm not gonna do anything because FBI is looking at me. I'm not going to, I was going to make a garden this year, but I don't know. What if the FBI thinks it's pot or something? And or what if they think, and I'm just living in, I never exercise the rights I have as a property owner to be fruitful on the land that I've been, that I have stewardship over. Is there something wrong with that? Yeah, there is. There's something wrong with that. If I just sit on my property and I never do anything because I'm afraid what the FBI is going to do and what the government's watching, and there's people like that. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to invite people. I've had people tell me this. Why do you invite people over your house? Aren't you afraid of getting sued? Somebody's going to get take advantage of you. And people are afraid. And these are other property owners. They're afraid to have people over their house. They're afraid to have functions like that because they'll get sued and all of these things. And they have, what's going on? They're not exercising. They're feeling, they're in this place that Paul is addressing where they're going to get their butts kicked. They're not exercising the powers they've been given to be fruitful. So I'm going to go plant that garden and pay my taxes. The dominion over me says I need to pay a certain amount of taxes, whether I agree or not. Whether I agree or not, I pay those taxes because I recognize that dominion, the protections that it provides over me. How does that apply? Are you starting to get the picture here? There's a dominion over us, and this is us being in Christ. Christ in us is our possession of Him. That's like your personal property. That's the gifting of the Holy Spirit and what He's given you to exercise those things. That's why Paul said, all things are lawful, but not all things I will not come under the power of any. He had all this freedom. He's been given a gift of the Spirit. Do you understand that? Do you see that? You've been given this place, the space to do things and you've been gifted with these things. Be fruitful with them. You've been empowered to use these things. That's Christ in you. Now, being in Christ is the dominion of Him over you. Some people don't like that. The ascusia of Him, now He is Lord over us, and He has dominion over us, over everything. Some people will say, well, no, I have dominion over everything. And they don't recognize that it's Christ's dominion, and they're not in submission to Him. So you have all sorts of weird teachings out there. You have all sorts of weird denominations that are doing things in the name of me to go out and exercise. Well, I'm not going to pay any taxes anymore. I'm a king's kid. Wait a minute, it's the king that said it. So they're exercising their rights over God. So there's the balance of power there that I want to bring out that's really important. And it's a very big challenge. Because a lot of people are on one side of the fence or the other, and they're not exercising the fullness of things that God has gifted us with. They're either sitting on their property, and they have all this opportunity to use it for God's glory. God has given you the Holy Spirit. What are you doing? He's given you gifts. Are you seeking them out? No, I'm too afraid. You're like that one that hid the treasure. I'm too afraid because of the FBI, what God does. He's a severe God. Do you see it? There's one side of the coin and the other. The other side of the coin is like it's commanding this, the naming and the claiming it, and all this. And it's like, is God even in? Are you the God of the universe? There's an uncomfortable feeling here. Are you under Christ's dominion? Is He really your Lord? Are you the Lord? A total perversion of everything. We're under the dominion and authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in that dominion, He's given us personal property, the gifting of the Holy Spirit, to exercise powers and be fruitful. Let's just read the rest of this chapter real quick. I hope these things are making sense. They're deep things. They're stirring things. And God has both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by His own power. Know you not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the member of Christ and make them a member of the harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For the two, said he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Don't play with it. Don't go near it. The original sin there, or just why were they even near that tree? Flee fornication. Proverbs 22 talks about a wise man sees evil even in the distance and avoids it. Come on. Flee fornication. If you know your weakness, don't go near it. Don't play with it. Every sin that a man does is without the body, outside of it. But he that commits fornication sins against his own body. What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Now we're talking about Christ in you. Christ is that provision. He's that bridge. He's the entrance way that heaven has broken into us to give us that Holy Spirit. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God. It's from God. And you are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I pray that this word has softened us up this morning, that we can enter into a full place of worship, and in truth and in spirit. Not an emotion driving to us a place, trying to get us to a place that's of spirit, but allow the spirit to bring into a place of emotion and brokenness before God. The next parallel of this power is even more powerful than a landowner in government. It's marriage and family. There's power exercised in that context that's going to come out next. Hold on to your seatbelts. He wants you to walk in the fullness of what you're to be, and that's an image bearer of God. Christians, little Christ, little image bearers of who Christ is. The fullness and the representation of him. Be set free this morning as we worship him. Totally yield over to him. You've been delivered and set free. You no longer belong on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You were born on it. It's familiar. It's comfortable. If you've just moved over a little to the left and you're on the good side of that same tree, you're not going to heaven. It's not about good works. It's not just about improving on that same tree you were born on. It's being totally set free and setting that tree on fire and moving over to the tree of life. Being an image bearer of God and knowing who you fully are in him. Being to lay hands on the sick and seeing them raised up because of the power that he's given in you. Being in a complete submission to the authority and dominion of Christ all the time. All the time. Not joining yourself to a harlot in your thought, your mind, or your actions. Be set free this morning from unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You've been declaring someone good and evil. Stop doing that. You don't have a right to do that. That's God's right. Be set free from that. It's going to kill you and kill others. Stop labeling people that way. You haven't been called to that. It's not your jurisdiction. That's not your dominion. You are not the Lord. That's his tree. Move to the tree of life and live. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ. Set us free, Lord God. You are beautiful. We thank you for your righteousness that covers us and the blood that cleanses us, Lord Jesus. We believe now, God, that we are not only in you, but that you are in us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Lift your eyes to heaven. talk about who you are in Him, in Christ, and Christ in you, these next few weeks especially, focusing on that. I pray that your very thoughts will be changing, and how you talk would be affected and impacted. Very practical examples. Just, you know, Gretchen talking about going to Vermont, this morning. Everything that we do and say, she said, oh no, Owen is sick, and that I can't go because there's a bug there. And that is one level of thinking. And to engage in something else where that God has dominion over that sickness, and understand that all things are possible with Christ. Doesn't mean you automatically go up there, but it means that it's at least possible, and you're acknowledging His dominion instead of just living on a carnal plane. I'm going to talk about abusing that power in the next few weeks, and just making assumptions because of, well, I'm a king's kid and that kind of thing. And but really being connected with the Lord, really hearing His voice. My sheep hear my voice and follow me. And that's what this is going to be about. And our speech being affected by that. How we think and how we talk being shaped by that, who we are now. I'm very excited about this and could hardly wait. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's have one more song.